Benjamin Norton Bugby, Sacramento Champagne King, written and spoken by Kevin Knaus. Chapter 1, California, 1849 to 1852, Early Mining. The light from the rising sun over the Sierra Nevada mountains made the inside of the white canvas tent glow. A young Benjamin Norton Bugby woke up on a warm summer morning to the sounds of the American River flowing below his camp. On the opposite side of the river, to his left was Mormon Island, and to his right was Beale's Bar. He had staked his tent on a flat spot above the confluence of the North Fork and the South Fork of the American River. It was the summer of 1849, and Bugby had only arrived in California a few months earlier. The morning melody was a collage of different dialects and languages from people all over the world. The sound of gold mining rockers could be heard working in the American River below. There was a sense of industriousness as the miners set about to find their fortunes in the riverbed. They had come to California for an adventure, to find their treasure, and hopefully to get rich. These young ambitious men with whom Bugby would include himself set up their crude living facilities among the Native American Nisenan people who already called the region their home. On the long voyage from New York to Sacramento, many of the men talked about the methods, tools, and machines for placer mining, but none of them had ever done it. This is a situation in which Bugby found himself. There was the theoretical side of mining, and then there was the practical side of doing the work. The work was hard, the river was cold, and days could be blisteringly hot. There was not a direct connection between the amount of intensity of work a man did and the amount of gold he would ultimately find. Actually, finding gold seemed to be governed in large measure by luck, the accident of being in the right place at the right time. Bugby went to work, overwhelmed with a sense of adventure and the adrenaline of a young man looking to strike it rich. But while he worked, he also kept an eye and ear open for the next opportunity. He was truly living in a new world surrounded by men who all had but one goal, and that was to survive another day. The mines were populated with people from all over the world working to earn a living and hoping to get rich. As he walked from his campsite down the steep trail that led to the North Fork of the American River to start his day as a placer miner, young Bugby was planting roots in the region. Northern California, the American River, Folsom, and Sacramento City would become his home. He would closely align his identity with the men, culture, and experience he found as a 49er. By the time Bugby arrived in the gold fields, there were already thousands of men sloshing in the river, turning over rocks, and picking at the earth looking for gold. There were a couple of Native American villages nearby, and Bugby would see women pounding acorns in the grinding holes that were carved out of huge granite boulders poking out of the landscape. While some of the Native American men continued to fish in the river or hunt deer, rabbits, and ducks, their way of life was rapidly being obliterated by miners and mining activity. Some of the Native American men had gone to work for Captain Beale across the river from Bugby's camp as part of the gold mining crew. Always looking for a better mining spot, Bugby would travel up the North Fork of the American River and prospect at Little Oregon Bar and as far north as Condemned Bar. He then wandered down to Big Gulch on the American River and then crossed over the river to the south side to mine at Negro Bar. Sacramento. When the autumn rains arrived, Bugby headed west to Sacramento to spend the winter. The city of Sacramento was still rather primitive with limited options for entertainment. California was also wrestling with organizing both local and state government. With an abiding interest in politics, which Bugby would pursue his whole life, he got involved in the campaign to elect P.B. Cornwall to the State Assembly and Constitutional Convention. Pierre Barlow Cornwall had arrived in California in 1848. He formed a political partnership with Sam Brannan and other men who were attempting to organize Sacramento as the premier point of entry on the Sacramento River to the gold fields in the foothills. Cornwall arrived in California $8,000 in debt, but in a short period of time, through selling goods to miners, shipping, and Sacramento real estate, he became a wealthy man. Bugby most likely was attracted to Cornwall's entrepreneurial spirit. Before winter had officially ended, Bugbee returned to the mining districts on the American River. He may have been driven out of Sacramento early after the devastating floods of January 1850 hit the ill-prepared community. The prospect of being cold and wet on a hill overlooking a rain-swollen American river may have been preferable to the devastation and death visited upon the fledgling town of Sacramento. He met up with a man who was operating a trading post at Rock Springs, midway between Beals Bar and Condinn Bar on the North Fork of the American River. Perhaps taking note of the success of P.B. Cornwall and other merchants were having, he acquired the rudimentary trading post from George Champlin in May 1850. While he was selling dry goods and mining equipment to prospectors, Bugbee also had time to organize the Rock Bar Company in 1850. He then shifted from placer mining in the river to drift mining above Negro Bar under what was to become the town of Folsom. In the process of drift mining, the miners would tunnel into the side of the hill and separate dirt from the cobblestones. They left the cobble rocks in the tunnel and hauled out the pay dirt to be washed. He noted in his 1881 testimony during the lawsuit of People versus the Gold Run Ditch Company that the drift mine was under Block 40 in the town of Folsom. The town of Folsom had not yet been laid out by Theodore Judah in 1850. Bugbee, who had resided in Folsom for many years, was familiar with the layout of the town as he served as constable for 5 years in the late 1850s. Block 40 of the original town layout would put Bugbee's drift mine north of Sutter Street, most likely on undeveloped land adjacent to the City of Folsom Transportation Corporation yard on Leidesdorf Street. Connecticut. It was also in 1850 that Bugbee received a letter notifying him that his father had died on October 8, 1849. His father, Eleazar Wales Bugbee, was only 56 years old and left his wife, Hannah Norton, and several children. It was reported he died of a fever after being ill for 28 days in Somers, Tolland County, Connecticut. Eleazar was born in Lanesboro, Massachusetts, but made his family home in Connecticut. Eleazar served in the War of 1812 and had been named postmaster of West Stafford in 1845. In 1829, 2 years after Benjamin was born, Eleazar was part of a group of Methodist Episcopal ministers who negotiated a lease with the First Congregation Church of Stafford to hold meetings every other week. The Methodists had worked hard to establish a congregation in Stafford for years, and this gave Eleazar an opportunity to preach while farming in the area. Benjamin Bugbee would return to the roots of his childhood and the religious guidance of his father years later in California after he had strayed from the path of righteousness. He waited until the fall of 1851 to return to Connecticut. It would be one of only two visits to the land where he was reared and that he had left behind. Bugbee boarded the steamer Independence on October 4th. He crossed through Central America at Nicaragua and then boarded the ship Prometheus for New York. The ship stopped at Havana, and Bugbee was able to explore the large stone fortress Morro Castle, built by the Spanish in 1589. He was impressed by the huge fortress with 4-story stone walls, cannons, lighthouse, observation turret, and a set of doors with a drawbridge mechanism to span a dry moat. He felt no illustration to date had ever done it justice. Many 49ers were returning home after not finding their pot of gold in California. Bugbee never expressed any sentiment that, upon leaving California, he would not return. From all accounts, he had become enamored with the opportunities that California offered, even if he had not found the vast quantities of gold that was being reported in 1848.